The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, July 24th, 2017. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 162nd episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with quick blasts, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: The Federalists podcast ran an interview with a professor who discusses how Shakespeare's Roman plays can teach us about modern politics. Pitchfork ran an interesting op-ed on what they call the ridiculous use of punk in TNT's new show, Will. I hadn't looked at it this way before, but I think there are some pretty valid points here. DC Theater Scene ran a piece on the one-night-only run of Titus Andronicus as part of the Shakespeare in the Pub series in our nation's capital. First Things ran an op-ed bemoaning the recent public theater production of Julius Caesar, saying that by trying to fit the round peg of that play and its title character into the square hole of Trump, they've butchered Shakespeare. It's a very good read. The Telegraph covered the recent statement by Greg Doran, artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company, saying that he believes that Shakespeare was gay. I'm not quite sure this is news or even newsworthy, but there it is. EW.com covered the great appearance by Kenneth Branagh on Stephen Colbert's Late Show as Shakespeare with a midlife crisis. The Financial Times, on their Business Books podcast, discussed the lessons that can be learned from Henry IV Part II. The Guardian was one of many, mostly UK, media outlets to cover the announcement by Shakespeare's Globe of Michelle Terry replacing Emma Rice as artistic director. I love Michelle Terry. Okay, maybe it's more of a crush. Here's hoping for a great long tenure for her. The Guardian also ran a great think piece on the future of artificial intelligence and the need for it to have morals, and how Shakespeare might be able to help. In the run-up to the opening of Shakespeare in the Park's Midsummer Night's Dream, the New York Times ran a piece on onstage lovers creating chemistry. The Herald Extra previewed the upcoming production of The Taming of the Shrew in Provo, Utah, in which the play gets an early 60s makeover, a la Mad Men. The Valley Advocate reviewed Cymbeline by Shakespeare and Company, running through August the 6th in Lenox, Massachusetts, saying that it's bare barred production with 9 actors for over 24 roles, and a fairly bare stage makes for a more comedic approach. Philly.com reviewed Henry V by Delaware Shakespeare, running in Wilmington, Delaware, calling it a rousing good time. Newsworks also reviewed the production running through July 30th, calling it spirited but not really gelling. DC Metro Theater Arts reviewed The Tempest by Annapolis Shakespeare Company, running in Annapolis, Maryland through, alas, last weekend, calling it a truly enchanting evening. The Las Vegas Review-Journal reviewed Romeo and Juliet by Utah Shakespeare Festival, running through September 9th in Cedar City, Utah, calling the production intense and powerful. The Salt Lake Tribune reviewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by Utah Shakespeare Festival, running in Cedar City, Utah through October 21st, calling the Jazz Age set production a delightful diversion. And finally, we've got a bunch of reviews for the new Much Ado at Shakespeare's Globe. The Financial Times reviewed the new production at Shakespeare's Globe, giving it 3 of 5 stars, but saying that the early 20th century Mexican Revolution setting doesn't quite work. The Evening Standard also reviewed this London production, but spent much of the review questioning hero's motivation after the worst wedding ever, rather than talking about the production itself. The Guardian also reviewed the production running through October the 15th, giving it 4 of 5 stars, saying that it has a fiesta spirit and a feisty Beatrice. And The Telegraph also reviewed the production, giving it 4 of 5 stars, but the review itself was kind of a mixed bag. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On July 18th, 1536, Parliament passed an act extinguishing the authority of the Bishop of Rome, effectively voiding papal authority in England, following the creation of the Anglican Church 2 years earlier. This led to Henry VIII's excommunication by Rome in December of 1538. On July 19th, 1950, Adrian Noble, famed theatrical director and one-time artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company, was born. On July 20th, 1398, Roger Mortimer, 4th Earl of March, died in battle. He was the heir presumptive to Richard II, but predeceased him by a year. His brother, Edmund, is the ransomed Mortimer for whom the Percys are rebelling in Henry IV, Part 1. On July 21st, 1403, the Battle of Shrewsbury took place as part of the Percy Rebellions, 1402 to 1408, against Henry IV. Hotspur's defeat and death here ended his revolt against Henry IV. During the battle, Prince Hal, Prince of Wales, was hit in the face with an arrow and was scarred for life. This is all depicted in the first part of Henry IV. On July 22, 1461, Charles VII of France died at the age of 58. His father, Charles VI, had recognized Henry V as the heir to the throne of France, and his sister, Catherine, married Henry V. Charles was depicted as the Dauphin in the first part of Henry VI, and as King Charles in the third part of Henry VI. Also on this date, in 1598, the Merchant of Venice was entered into the Stationers' Company Register by James Roberts. On July 23, 1403, Thomas Percy, 1st Earl of Worcester and uncle to Henry Hotspur Percy, was executed after having been captured 2 days earlier at the Battle of Shrewsbury. The Percy Rebellions, 1402 to 1408, was depicted in both the first and second parts of Henry IV. On July 24, 1567, Mary, Queen of Scots, the Queen Regent of Scotland, ended her reign when she was forced to abdicate, allowing her one-year-old son, James VI, and the future James I of England, to become King of Scotland. And that, my friends, was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending July 24th, 2017. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week. Shakespeare fans, need a poster to hang in your room? Teachers, need some nifty handouts for your students to peruse as you introduce them to the Bard? Or are you just in the mood for some printable versions of some of the cool infographics found on this website? Well, regardless of how you answered those questions, I've got a scratch for that itch, a solution for that problem. Check out the Bill Shakespeare Project page on the Teachers Pay Teachers website. You can find character maps for Romeo and Juliet and Julius Caesar, previewing the characters and their relationships to one another. I've also got geographical maps so your students can wrap their heads around travels within the plays Troilus and Cressida. Yes, even TNC gets some love. All's Well That Ends Well as well. See what I did there? Plus Pericles and Othello. There's also handouts on the so-called history in Macbeth and Julius Caesar, time in Romeo and Juliet, and violence in Titus Andronicus. Also, you'll find entire packets of handouts for both King Lear and Macbeth, including scene-by-scene timelines and the interactions as well as relationships between the characters. And I'll be adding even more soon. Plus, this is where you can find the printable version of the new and improved periodic table of Shakespeare. Some of these are for free, and some are for purchase, but all can be found on the Bill Shakespeare Project page on teacherspayteachers.com. Oh, and if you want to purchase a pre-printed poster-sized version of that periodic table, well then head on over to the Bill Shakespeare Project page on redbubble.com. Links to both of these sites can be found in the left-hand margin of this website.